Hello, we are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast. Woo!
Woohoo!
This is episode 40, guys.
Yay.
Our podcast is over the hill.
We are 40, number 40. We're recording this on August 23rd, Sunday, August 23rd. We are the Schmaltz Brothers. I am Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Andrew and Christopher. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Patrick. Hello, Christopher.
Hello, Christopher.
Hi there.
We're geeks, we're brothers, you know, it's 40th episode, so you should have gotten this by now.
You also should have bought us some balloons or something.
What's
that? If you're just joining us.
This could be someone's first episode ever.
Okay, if this is your first episode, we are brothers, we are geeks, and we make fun of each other, and we talk about geeky stuff. Let's do this!
Let's do it. Let's go. As they
said. So on the podcast previously, Christopher and I both read The Martian. Did you read The Martian, Andrew?
I am going to start The Martian very shortly. I'm going to finish it before the movie comes out.
The new trailer for The Martian, the second trailer. Ridley Scott starring Matt Damon, starring a bunch of people, really.
Dude, the cast for this movie is huge.
Huge and awesome.
And awesome. Yeah. So, like ridiculously, it's an embarrassment of riches for this movie, all the people that are in this cast.
Ridley Scott's name, I think, gets pulled still. I think a lot of it is because he got attached to it.
Well, Matt Damon.
If the script is anything, I mean, I think it's a pretty tough book to script, but if the script manages to capture the pacing and the intensity of the book, I mean, it's a freaking no-brainer for people wanting to be involved in
Movie. Well, dude, listen to this. I just pulled up IMDb, and listen to this cast. Kate Mara, who's legit. She's done a bunch of stuff.
She's legit.
Sebastian Stan, who we love.
Except she's
in
Fantastic Four, but we'll get to that.
She is. Sebastian Stan, who plays Bucky, you know, in the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, yeah.
Kristen Wiig, who is in everything and is always good. Frickin' Jessica Chastain is in this movie. She plays commander.
Is she just like the greatest like female actress right now?
She might be, dude. She's so good.
No.
Like up and coming, you know. You're casting a 30 to 40 year old like lady, serious actress. Your first thought is Jessica Chastain. Right. Now.
I can't dispute that.
Yeah.
Can you dispute that, Christopher?
I am trying, but
you really,
no name or face comes to mind.
Exactly.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. Okay.
Jennifer Lawrence is 25 years old.
Yeah, she's still younger.
30 to 40.
30 to 40.
Maybe serious role. Amy Adams, maybe.
Amy Adams.
The only other contender.
She's pretty good.
She's good in everything. Mm-hmm. But the rest of Sean Bean, freaking Jeff Daniels, Chiwetel Ejiofor, who we love. He was in, you know, Serenity and many other things. He's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This movie has so many. And then, you know, Matt Damon as, you know, the title character, the
Matt
Martian.
Damon, the main character.
The absolute toughest role to play.
Yes.
Oh, easily.
Well, I
can't wait to read this book. And
it's a lot of fun to read, dude.
Legendary Lister Sean is either reading it or he has read it. When we were talking about it, he picked it up and has read it, and he has reported to me that he loved it as well.
If you haven't read it,
go read it now.
I am going to grab the book off my shelf and put it in my satchel to take everywhere with me from now on. So it will be read very quickly.
It looks like they're, you know, trying to capture the humor and the tension. There's a lot of tension in the book because there's so many things that come at him that he has to like face. As soon as he like solves one problem, another problem.
Him.
Yeah, another problem, you know, comes up. So I'm really excited about it. I think it looks really good. Even, you know, if Ridley Scott can make up for Prometheus.
Ridley Scott has to make up for the last 30 minutes of Prometheus. The rest of the movie, Prometheus, is wonderful. The last act of Prometheus is all over the place and kind of missing.
It has no idea where it's going.
completely agree. It's a fantastic movie to
It has
like,
no answers. It asks a bunch of questions and has no answers.
I don't need a lot of answers.
It has some answers.
It has some answers. None of them are particularly satisfying.
And some of the images in that movie are the best thing that I've seen.
It looks great.
A screen.
It looks great.
Yeah. I mean, some of the shots are incredible.
Yeah. What scene was it that I come back to all the time where the android David is in like the cockpit of the alien ship and he's like accessing its memory core or whatever, and like he brings up like a big holograph of solar systems and things like that, and he's able to interact with it, and the music that's playing and everything else, it's a beautifully constructed scene. Mm-hmm. It's great movie making, but the movie doesn't pay off very well, unfortunately.
Not that well. Yeah.
Anyway, it kind of looks like The Martian. Kind of looks like Prometheus. Also, like the style. I wonder if the art direction is the same.
But here's the thing: you said something. He has to make up for. He doesn't. Ridley Scott doesn't have to make up for anything, dude.
No, dude, he is on
In
the
my top. Mind. He does.
No, he doesn't.
I've been mad at him. What was the last movie he made? The Exodus? That was not good. Like,
his
never
career,
saw it.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, but Ridley Scott has made at least 5 of the top 100 movies in the past 50 years.
I agree.
Alien, freaking Gladiator, freaking Blade Runner, whatever version of Blade Runner you want
to
talk
about.
I'm
not arguing that. I'm just saying that he's kind of fallen. He's fallen off the good stuff.
You don't think you don't think he has like an all-time cachet because of his history?
No. He has to keep making good movies. If he starts to suck, then I start to think less of him.
Dude, not every movie needs to be his best movie ever.
I know, but
Steven Spielberg. He doesn't make the best movie ever every time out.
This is true.
Spielberg made Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Kingdom
of the Crystal Skull.
That was terrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, Temple of Doom is kind of weak, but...
Temple of Doom is pretty weak, but I like
it. Yeah, the Crystal Skull is terrible.
That is
terrible. Freaking terrible.
And I don't think any less of Spielberg because he made
that
terrible movie.
I definitely think less of Spielberg because of that.
Yeah.
I will definitely agree with that it's worse than Prometheus.
It's so bad.
Oh, man.
Cate Blanchett's Russian accent alone.
Oh, my God.
It's just... Oh,
Shia LaBeouf swinging through the trees with monkeys. Oh.
And then he's a fence. And then he's a fencer.
Terrible.
No.
On a back Jeep.
No, the worst. you guys are skipping over the absolute worst. The worst is Indy getting inside the refrigerator.
Oh my God!
Lead-lined fridge.
The lead-lined fridge.
The nuke going off, and he gets thrown like half a mile.
Sure. That's how that works.
Away.
Indiana Jones is indestructible. He is indestructible.
The moment I saw that, I was all excited about this movie. The moment I saw that scene, I was like, oh, shit. This is freaking terrible.
Yep.
Terrible.
Yep. Anyways, got derailed from Martian. We're all excited about that. Go watch the trailer if you haven't yet.
It's actually not far away.
Yeah.
It's 5 weeks away. It's crazy how quickly this movie's going to come out.
I'm super pumped about it because I love the book.
I got to read it. Pulling it off the shelf.
Do it. Do it, bro.
I got like 4 books going right now.
It's such a quick read. I mean, I listened to it and I was literally like sitting in my house doing nothing, listening to this book. Like just on my headset, sitting in my room, staring off at the wall, listening to the book. So
it's incredible.
We'll talk about it when we get to Red, but there are times when you can just get sucked so deep into a book that you can't even put it down, and I've had that recently, but we'll get to that.
Totally. We also, the brothers kind of did, speaking of geek movies.
That pretty much what we've been talking about for the last 15 minutes.
We all took this test. We're probably going to put the link in the show notes, so if you want to look it up, you should. It's called 100 Basic Training Movies at Nerd Academy. So it's their list of 100 movies as a geek nerd you should watch. And you go through and you click on the ones that you've seen. And
the website is listchallenges.com.
Listchallenges.com. Yeah, we'll say that.
I don't know who makes these websites, but
it's kind of like they pop up on Facebook a lot, right? It's a Facebook
quiz thing. It's a quiz generator thing.
Usually they're terrible, but this one was kind of fun because it's, you know, movie related and geek related. I would like to hear about your scores. It's out of 100. And Andrew, how many of these movies
have you
seen?
I got an 84. 84. I kind of fell down. It was
the
anime titles that were listed.
Oh,
on
the
there.
Anime
I hadn't
titles.
Seen.
Yeah.
There was a couple of the kind of, I'll quote unquote say fringe. I'd never seen it. I hadn't seen Brazil. I hadn't seen
Metropolis. Yeah, Brazil and Metropolis.
I've seen Brazil, but I haven't seen Metropolis.
Yeah.
I'm looking through the list right now to try. You know, got your basic ones. It's got all three Star Wars. All the indie movies, all the Lord of the Rings movies,
Superman,
Christopher Reeve, Superman, all the Dark Knight movies, did it have all of the Marvel stuff? Not all of them though.
It had a few, like Iron Man, and it had Avengers and stuff.
I'm very ashamed to admit that one of mine is Doctor Strangelove.
Oh, you haven't seen Doctor Strangelove?
I have not seen that either.
Oh my God.
I have never seen it from beginning to
end. Well, that's curious, Christopher, because, okay, so I had seen Brazil, but you hadn't. And you and I, we talked about this before, you and I got the same score. We got 96 out of 100, which is pretty good, I would say.
Top 5%.
Great, it's very good.
Yeah. So Metropolis is on my list of not having seen.
Yeah.
Let me see. I hadn't seen.
Well, Metropolis is such a huge title.
Rollerball. I haven't seen Rollerball.
Oh, I hadn't seen that one either.
You've seen that?
I did not see Vampire Hunter D.
That's a great movie. Oh my God. Out of the anime ones. They pick like the top five anime you should ever watch: Akira, Ghost in the Shell, Vampire Hunter D. Those are all like the top anime you should ever watch. So
yeah, I've never seen that.
It's good. It's really
is that
good.
Available on Netflix or anything?
I don't think so. I doubt it. It's an old one. It's from the 90s, I think. The animation.
I did see Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell is really good.
That's really good.
I haven't seen Soylent Green.
Me neither. Wow, really?
That's one of the ones on my list that I hadn't seen.
Yeah, but this really, the list does a great job of. It's an interesting. It's not all genre stuff, but there isn't a single movie on the list that I could quibble with in terms of.
Oh, I completely agree.
This is a nerdy kind of people are in this kind of world.
Right.
You need to be part of the conversation. You need to have seen this. I thought they did a great job of these 100. Although some are kind of weird and I don't know about that.
I suppose it's all-time classic horror, and it's made by like an A-list director directed Carrie, didn't he?
Mm.
I feel like it was directed by somebody
kind
of top tier. Let me look it up. I'm on IMDb right now. Barbarella was on the list, too.
Barbarella is great.
Barbarella is
it's wacky.
Wackadoo.
People were on a drug trip when they did that.
Well, it's sort of...
Brian De Palma made Carrie, and I mean, he made Scarface.
Oh, yeah.
Brian De Palma.
He's a legit director. So, I mean, he hasn't made a lot of good stuff lately, but I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but there are some movies, on here are terrible, but...
Oh, yeah, no. Terrible
movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like Krull is on this list, and that's awful.
I totally disagree.
I love Krull.
Krull is great.
Krull is terrible. But it's so...
Great.
No, it's terribly great. That's exactly
so
right.
It's so bad that it's still entertaining.
It's really bad.
It's really bad, but you just enjoy it so much.
Yeah.
So who articulated David Foster Wallace? I watched an interview on YouTube he did recently, and he articulated it pretty well. He says, you know what? Some movies are just bad because they're incoherent and they're not made well and the acting's crappy and you don't, you know, there's no point, blah, blah, blah. Some movies are so bad that they're entertaining. And Krull is definitely a movie so bad that it's still entertaining.
Totally. Totally.
Yeah. It's pretty. Yeah. You know, it's like they're trying to do, you know, a sword and sorcery thing with alien monsters and this, you know, fortress.
Yeah.
And Clydesdales that can run and that 10,000 leagues in a day on flaming hooves and stuff. It's so fiery, random.
Fiery.
what's the throwing star called in Krull?
The glaive.
Oh my god, so great.
And then their love creates the power to destroy this beast.
The love.
It's like force. It's the force. Totally. Together they have the force. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
The only thing that would have been better is if there was a dragon.
So yeah, we'll post that. We'll post that
list
on
in the show notes
yeah,
for sure.
So you can go take it yourself. You should set us in your scores, tweet us your scores and or messages, whatever, and
Well, and it's a really good, in my mind, it's a really good, if you wanna watch some movies that are in this world. This is a great list.
Yeah. Complete.
In terms of working your way through the list to have some geek cred, in my mind, right?
For sure.
These are 100 like must watches for sure.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. For sure.
I definitely got to nail down some. I got to see Ghost in the Shell and I got to watch Akira.
Akira.
I own Akira.
So good.
Do you have that on Blu-ray, Christopher?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, no, I'll...
Do you have the director's cut of that, Christopher? Does the Blu-ray have the director's cut on there?
I don't remember. I'll have to look.
Because the director's cut is crazy. Crazy.
Yeah?
It has some extended scenes, and it explains some stuff, and... Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Ghost in the Shell, Akira, those two are top anime ever you should watch.
Oh, for sure.
If you're... But,
so inclined, yeah.
Cool.
Well, what else do we have for discussion?
We talked about The Martian. We talked about, things we did not do. Chris and I didn't go see Fantastic Four.
Oh, well,
talked about doing that.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't go see it.
Well, we might as well just go into scene then, since you're kind of dipping your toe in it.
Yeah.
I was going to ask. I did not go see Fantastic Four either. I was going to ask if you guys saw Fantastic Four. I don't know if we should give this movie money because it's kind of...
That's kind of what held me up is I was... I feel bad for the actors.
I've heard that the acting is not the problem. The acting is very good.
That's why I'm conflicted over it because I feel bad for the actors because... you know, you sign on to a film like this thinking, okay, I'm going to be a superstar because
this is big money.
If this is good, I my ticket is written for the next five movies.
It's a Marvel property, not made by Marvel Studios. It's made by Fox, but made by Sony.
Yeah.
It's $120 million behind this thing.
Right. You know. I mean, if it hits, you're guaranteed. I'm sure they signed a three-picture deal, right?
You got 10 years of income. You got 10 years of making movies and doing appearances. And
you make these movies, and then you do whatever else you want to do.
But this thing
is set financially.
Because I don't even think this movie has made its money back. We could try to find out.
What is it? What's the website we always use? Box Office Mojo.
I felt bad about. I probably will see it. I want to throw some money at it. I think because of the actors.
Right.
Well, top to bottom, the actors are great. Miles Teller, if you can deal with him, he can be a little annoying sometimes. He's good. Michael B. Jordan is great. I've liked him in almost everything he's done. Jamie Bell is great. Kate Mara is great.
Yes.
Box Office Mojo, total domestic haul as of today, is $49 million.
Oh.
So it's not going to crack 100.
It's going to be a loss.
But foreign box office, it's made 80. Its total box office to date is 130.
What was its cost?
I don't have a budget. Honestly, let me see, does Box Office Mojo?
On the page of the movie itself, it'll show the cost of
production. Okay, yeah. Estimate. It says production budget NA, so they must not have released it.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. Or maybe Mojo hasn't been updated.
Yeah, it bums me out because I want all of these movies to succeed, but that for whatever reason seems like they keep misfiring on the Fantastic Four movies.
Well,
I don't understand that.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a good. I don't know if they get the story right.
They clearly haven't gotten the story right.
Right. No.
It's a family dynamic. Lots to say. There's lots to speak to about the group, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they face some serious stuff.
In the comics...
Just totally screwed it up on the Silver Surfer one.
Oh, yeah.
Galactus and that whole thing.
Galactus was so dumb. Yeah.
Yep.
But in the comics, like Reed Richards, he's like the smartest human. He is...
And Dr. Doom is...
The greatest villain.
Top five of all time villains.
Yeah, and they keep screwing him up.
Dr. Doom is fantastic.
Like, they keep making him this, like, this creature instead of...
Yeah.
Instead of, like, this genius...
Genius, badass science guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is freaking great as a villain. I mean, in the comics, he's absolutely one of my favorite villains.
He's so threatening. In the movies, he's just this guy that they punch a lot.
I'd watch a movie about Dr. Doom, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd make a great movie.
Dr. Doom?
Yeah.
That would be fantastic.
Totally. Totally.
Especially in the last few years, Dr. Doom has become like the Hannibal Lecter of the Marvel comics. He is everywhere. He's very sinister. He manipulates on multiple levels. He is the most threatening kind of villain in the Marvel Comics world.
The central role in Secret Wars.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, he's always fighting other people. He's always getting involved in other stuff.
When he shows up, it's a Fantastic Four guy.
He's exactly
all over the place.
He's all over.
I disagree. Yeah, I disagree with the Hannibal Lecter comparison because he's not pathological. He is supremely. He's genius level pragmatic,
okay.
And power hungry.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's power. Okay.
So he's not evil in the strictest sense of the – I mean he's a bad guy, but
yeah.
He's not evil in the way I would
– He doesn't murder just 'cause.
Indiscriminately.
Right.
Okay.
It is always a means to an end. And he doesn't give a shit about you and you're an ant, right? So he'll murder you. He'll murder you because you're standing in his way.
Right. True.
But it's not a, okay, I enjoy murdering you.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not the Joker. Yeah, he doesn't just kill.
Yeah, he's always got a plan. He's always got a purpose.
Right. And that's what they keep missing with these, like, the Fantastic Four, Dr. Doom. That is the thing that has been lacking the most out of these movies, I think, is the Dr. Doom aspects.
Yes.
And
they're missing... all the best movies have a kick-ass villain, right?
Totally, so totally.
That's absolutely what's missing.
The Dark Knight is so good because the Joker is so good in it.
Yes.
Well, I agree with that, but for whatever you want to say about Michael Chiklis in the first Fantastic Four movies... The character of the Thing has a lot going on. He's very tragic. They mm-hmm. could really kind of make that character into someone you can definitely. He's not a buffoon by any means. He's absolutely an angry, tragic character because of what happens to him. Because he is the one who turns into a monster.
And his
love story is great.
Exactly.
And it's poignant. And there's lots. I mean, yeah. No, they really. They screw.
So it sounds like we might have to see it just so we can have a more informed opinion about it.
I think that's probably right.
We might have to spend the money.
I'll force myself to go see it.
We might have to
give them a little. Give the actors a little money so that they at least don't get, you know. Well,
dude, Kate Mara plays an astronaut in.
I don't think this is going to ruin Miles Teller or Kate Mara, but it would. It
or
might
Michael
be,
B. Jordan.
Michael either. B. Jordan. I don't know. I mean, he's kind of working his way into movies a little bit, but he's only done a few. So he's on the fence.
He got
and
Oscar
Jamie
buzz.
Bell. Jamie Bell is still on the edge too. He's not like blowing
I think
up.
A conscious choice by Jamie Bell though. Jamie Bell could get a lot of roles that I think probably end up going to more. I don't know. I think I think Jamie Bell gets a lot. Zac Efron gets a lot of offers that Jamie Bell probably could get too.
Right, they're in the same kind of. Like they're in the same kind of.
He makes the
field.
Choice not to do like.
Totally.
You know, those kind of movies. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Efron. Well, okay.
I love Efron. I think Efron's great. I think they're in the same kind of...
Well, I like that Efron's going not, more
if,
comedic.
If the choice is between Efron and Jamie Bell, I don't think ever they're going Bell.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Zac Efron is like a household name. If you say Jamie Bell to anybody, that non-movie people
that's
that are
true.
Not going to know who
that
you
is,
are
yeah.
talking about.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. So... Well, that's the unseen. What have we seen, Christopher? What have you seen?
What have I seen? It's slow. Slow going over here. Dark Matter. That show. That has been the best summer show I've seen. There's a big hole because I haven't watched any of Mr. Robot, and I hear nothing but great things about that, so I need to watch
that.
Yeah,
I've heard that's really good.
Yeah, yep. But I've been watching Dark Matter on Sci-Fi, and this last episode was one of the best of the season, and there was a big reveal during the episode, and a lot of cool stuff happened, and it's leading into the season finale. So I'm very much enjoying that show a lot, Dark Matter. Very, very entertaining.
Cool.
How
many episodes have there been?
I think there have been 7. Ooh. I think the total season is 8. I might be wrong about
so
that.
So it's a quick...
They're only going to do 8?
8 or 10, yeah.
Is it short, sci-fi like they season. Do... They
Dark,
do 10,
Dark
they
Matter
take 3
is on
off.
The 11th episode right now.
11th?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
So it might be doing 12 or 13.
It's 12 sounds like.
Yeah.
Then.
Oh, so it feels like the season's like coming to an end. Like there's
the next rapids. Episode is the season finale.
Oh wow! Okay. All right. There you go.
I saw Ant-Man again. I took Kira.
Yeah.
What did Kira think of that?
She
How
loved
did she
it.
Enjoy it?
Oh. She
yeah.
loved it. I was yes. amazed. And it's a sign of a good movie when you can make a skittish 9-year-old who hates bugs be very happy and enjoy and be sad when the bug gets killed.
Aww.
That is, so, do we even like talk about that? How Ant-Man makes you care
about ants
when an ant dies.
Exactly.
Like that is the greatest. That's the sign that the movie is so good.
Serious compliment.
Right.
That,
yep.
Because you give a shit that one ant died.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's so and it absolutely worked on Kira. She was bummed out about that, and then very thrilled that the giant ant at the end was a pet.
That's
so was like, she wasn't freaked out by that at all. She was
nice.
Like, "Oh, that's so cool.
That's great.
Like, oh my
that's
god,
great.
That's
wow.
freaky." So
that's really funny.
Those are and we watched. It's a lot of rewatch. We watched Captain America: Winter Soldier. The whole family watched that.
Greatest comic book movie ever made.
That movie is incredible.
Seriously,
incredible.
It could be. It's really it's right well up there done. with The Dark Knight. Honestly, as one of the best comic movies.
Yeah,
really
you know, I was done. Thinking about this the other day because I knew that you would argue that, Andrew. The Dark Knight, I think is. Here's what it is. The Dark Knight is a gangster movie with Batman in it, and Winter Soldier is a spy movie with Captain America in it. And
yeah.
I think I like the spy movie with Captain America in it more than the gangster movie, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I kind of just like that genre, I think, a little bit more, and that's why I kind of like it more.
Okay.
But I think that's a good way to, like, think about it, is I just, because I like the spy movie aspects of Winter Soldier so much, that's why I enjoy
that
movie more.
That's a completely valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great movie, man.
That's my scene.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
Andrew, what you got?
Patrick. Adria and I, she wanted to see Hitman Agent 47.
Oh, God.
Oh.
This is getting terrible reviews. Terrible.
Oh, terrible. It's like 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It looks
I will say this. Yeah. It was not as bad as I expected.
Oh, okay.
There are parts of it that are completely incomprehensible.
This has Zachary Quinto in it, right?
Yeah, he plays a bad guy, and he's actually pretty good.
Okay.
He's not bad, you know, Zachary
Quinto.
Well,
we know he can play a bad guy. He played Siler.
Siler on Heroes. Yeah, no, he's got some menace to him.
Definitely does.
And the movie gets it one thing right, in the sense that it doesn't focus on the hitman as, like, the protagonist. Mm. Ends up being partnered up with this woman who is searching for someone who turns out to be her father, and she has other things going on too, and he ends up kind of protecting her and shepherding her along a little bit. They're connected in their past. So she is kind of the protagonist, the animus of the story, whereas he kind of gets involved with her and other things kind of...
He's there to shoot people. He's there to shoot people,
yeah.
And
he doesn't
cause
have a
problems.
Lot of
be bald. You know, he's there to be bald.
He's there to be bald and have a, you know, the
drive cars and shoot people.
And kill, yep. Yeah,
dude,
kill,
it isn't.
Kill
it is
people.
Straight out an Audi commercial. Every single car they drive is an Audi, and they identify
okay
them
that.
As there's one part of the movie where the hitman is tracking people, and he has tracking devices on the cars. So they cut between the cars driving on the streets and him, like, setting traps for these cars, and cutting to, like, the screen showing the GPS tracking. And it just doesn't say, you know, vehicle one, vehicle two. It says Audi one and Audi number two.
Oh, my
so
God.
It's total commercial.
Seriously?
Completely.
That it's like painful.
Painful, dude. Painful. There's a couple cool little car chases in it. One thing that just doesn't make – it made no freaking sense, and I'm not giving anything away because nobody will see it, and none of our listeners will probably see it either, and they won't throw their hands up in disgust if I talk about this. The main character, the woman, is an enhanced person like he is. That's how they end up being connected. They both were subjects of an experiment by this guy. She is the direct biological descendant of this guy. She's the daughter to the head of this program that creates super soldiers. And she, the power, quote unquote power or ability she has is she has enhanced survival skills. So that's the way they describe it. So she's like always on edge, always afraid, always kind of wary of her surroundings and her situations. And the way that they communicate that on screen is like she'll walk into a certain situation or a certain area and all of the threats in the area like flash to her, and it's almost like she can see what's the eventuality of what's going to happen. So it's like it almost feels like she's a psychic, but they don't call it that. It's like she can see eventualities or something.
Why? Supreme situational awareness.
Exactly.
Why are they going that way with this?
I don't know. It makes no sense. Because there's one scene in particular where she's in a hotel room.
That's just Jason Bourne. What are you
I completely
talking about?
Agree with you. No. But this is the thing. She's in a hotel room. The hitman is sleeping. And she's bored. So she takes apart his guns. Because the only time he ever is not without his guns is when he's asleep. He takes them out of his holsters and puts them on the couch, on wherever he's sleeping, puts them right next to him. Well, she gets bored, and wherever she's bored, she takes things apart. So she's sitting in the bed, you know, after she's slept and had a shower, takes apart his guns, and then she has a flash of, like, people breaking down the door and him having to fight them and, like, subdue them without his guns. And then it plays out exactly like that within the next, like, minute and a half. And you really don't get – it's not like you hear them running down the halls or like there's a flash of them like getting ready to kick down the door.
Yeah, how does she know?
Exactly. She knows that there's going to be a fist fight with these like five guys that break through the door.
That's,
and the next
a, that's a break in the logic of the movie. Yeah.
Exactly. That's her. Her ability doesn't have a lot of logic to it, and the way that they portray it on screen really doesn't make a lot of sense when you think about it a little deeper. And just because of how I think about movies, I did, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It's entertaining in some ways, but it's not that, I don't know, well constructed, I guess.
So would you ever watch this movie again?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Did Adria like this movie?
I think she did. Yeah, she said it was better than she thought it was going to be.
All right, I don't
think she would ever see it again.
Okay, well, that's those aren't the same things.
I'm surprised she won't.
And being better than you thought it was going to be are two different things.
Yeah,
I expected it to be abysmal. I expected it to be nearly. I mean, I've
seen
movies.
She wanted to see this. This is crazy. What about this?
She's a fan of the Oliphant Hitman movie?
No, she doesn't like Timothy Oliphant. She specifically commented on that.
Really?
Wow.
Wrong for the role.
Then what? I wonder what about...
He was wrong for that role.
Did she play the game or something? She doesn't strike me as a gamer.
No, she's not a gamer.
Yeah.
I don't know. She get her attraction to certain movies, I can't really ever put my finger on it.
She just wanted to see it. She saw something about this.
That's good, dude. She's exposing you to new and interesting things.
This is true.
Well, she didn't want to see A Man from U.N.C.L.E., which I still want to see.
Oh, I want to see that, too.
Yeah, I know. I got to go see it. I might... Go see it. And we could have. I mean, I still want to see like Straight Outta Compton. That movie's actually supposed to be really great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never. I've a few people I know have seen it, and they say it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But that was what we saw. Hitman awesome. Agent 47.
Cool.
Yeah.
I kind of did some older watching of things this week, and I kind of went in the horror route. I watched the first Sinister movie. Have you guys seen this? This movie is scary as hell. It's got Ethan Hawke in it. He's the main guy.
Mm-hmm.
You guys should go rent this because it scared the shit out of me. Like,
wow, really?
So Ethan Hawke is this writer. He's a crime writer, true crime writer, and he goes to towns and he researches this real life crime that happens. And he's done it before. He's had like three or four books.
I remember this now.
And he goes in this house where the family like hung themselves. They hang themselves. I keep saying, yeah. They hang themselves. And it was never solved. And the youngest daughter like never was like kidnapped, vanished. And so he's like researching it, trying to figure it out. And while he's doing this, some creepy crap happens and I don't want to ruin it for you, but it's
like a supernatural force.
Supernatural
right?
force that is doing this. Yes, I will tell you that.
Okay.
But it is so creepy.
Spoiler.
Very, very, very gruesome and
see, that's where
shocking.
It loses me.
I'm not no,
a huge
it is. It's not too bad, but they really make you. It is. There are some scenes I had trouble watching, and I've seen a lot of movies. This is a great horror movie because when it succeeds like this so well, like it's probably one of the best horror movies I've ever seen, like top five ever.
Wow. Okay.
Like it's that good. And,
okay.
And this guy, the guy who's doing Sinister, he's going to direct the Doctor Strange movie. That's why I wanted to watch it.
That's a good connection. Okay.
He got Doctor Strange because of how good this movie is. So, yeah, you should definitely watch it, but definitely watch it during the day. It's creepy and dark and ooh man,
it'll scare the poop out of
you. I also and on the other end of the spectrum, I watched What We Do in the Shadows.
Never heard of that movie.
It's a mockumentary about vampires that live in a house together, and it's starring Jermaine Clements, the guy from Flight of the Concords, and all.
Yeah,
I've heard of this.
And they're all vampires, and they live in a house together, and they're all kind of quirky and funny, and how they deal with killing people and cleaning up the messes and doing dishes and stupid stuff like that as vampires, you know, and they're all like super old and dealing with like a new vampire in the house and teaching him how to be a vampire. It's like very dry New Zealand humor, very Flight of the Conchords, pretty funny though, really well made. And I liked it a lot. So
what was the name of the movie one more time?
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows. Okay.
So, yeah, I like that a lot.
Where did you ever hear about this movie? What motivated you to see this movie?
I know all the movies, man.
Okay.
I watched.
He knows all the movies.
He knows all the movies.
I think I saw a trailer for
film
it one time.
Film student dick.
Well,
seriously, you're such a film student brick.
Yeah. I spend a lot of time on YouTube, Andrew, watching like movie trailers, and so I find, you know, I'll watch a trailer and I'll be like, oh, that looks good, and I heard this was decent. So
what's
so
decent?
I had heard of it.
Yeah, I had heard of this.
It was worth a watch. It was very, very funny. So
this is what you do for an hour and a half instead of, you know, playing Destiny with me and Christopher.
This is true.
Okay.
Yeah.
Choices, man. Choices.
Choices. Choices.
Fine. We don't feel rejected at all.
Not at all.
You should totally feel rejected. I'm rejecting you.
Jerk.
That's pretty much it for. I mean, I'm trying to think if I watched anything else that was new. Kind of a dry spell for new shows.
Yeah, it is. It's in that August. This August stretch.
I haven't watched anything.
New stuff premieres the next month. So
yep.
Well,
yep.
Fear the Walking Dead premieres tonight.
That's
on
tonight.
Ooh.
Yes, I'm definitely watching that.
You guys are going to watch that. You guys are a fan of the Walking Dead. I'm not. It's not my jam. So
definitely watching that. So
enjoy that, and you can report on that. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Let's do some Red.
Yeah.
Andrew, let's start with you with Red.
Yeah, I finished Leviathan Wakes.
Oh my god. Okay, so can we do like a little spoilerism now that we've all three read it?
Yes.
So if you haven't read Leviathan Wakes, and
come back.
Yeah, we're gonna give a 5 minute spoiler time here.
Yeah.
To talk about this, and I'm so come back in five if you're planning on reading it and not.
We'll mark the and you'll mark the time.
I'll
in the
mark
show
it.
Notes,
I'll
right?
mark it so, in the show notes yeah. so yeah. people can skip around. Yeah. But yeah. So Andrew,
dude.
Oh my god,
what did you think, man?
it's difficult. Honestly, it's like okay, it's. You really just feel like it's going to be a straightforward, like, political kind of war story in space, setting this interesting.
They do a great job of world building.
Completely interesting world building with all these different cultures and these back and forth, you know, kind of the tensions that are, they feel totally totally kind of legitimately constructed, how Earth and Mars would, you know, kind of, be at odds with each other and the power bases that they both have. And then, you know, the Belters being kind of the slum dwellers, they're kind of the shit upon people in the solar system and all of these forces going back and forth. And then kind of the corporate conspiracy aspect of it, which, you know, totally fact, I mean, that's just, you know, it's kind of a classic, not I want to say even cliched, but it's a classic trope when you're dealing with kind of things that, but then all of that gets exploded.
Yeah,
you're waiting. You know, okay, there's those opposing forces, and there's this people who want to do good,
uh-oh.
And they figure out a way to kind of like
hold on, Andrew. Did we lose somebody?
No.
Oh
no.
I heard a bloop bloop like we lost somebody. Never mind. Nope. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. So you think it's gonna okay? They're trying to avert a full blown war, and they're trying to do this and save some people, and you know still trying to achieve some ends. Blah blah blah. And then something happens, and you're like, holy shit!
Right?
This just went to a whole new level of where are they taking? And but it feels totally legitimate. A freaking a living creature takes control of an asteroid
yep.
and becomes You're just like...
Well, uses all of the human nervous systems that they co-opted into a communication device, essentially.
And then
continues on its mission that it was originally sent on billions of years ago to hit the Earth and wipe out or be seed for whatever life was going to generate on the Earth and be the catalyst for that. And then the, you know, convincing
the thing,
because it was influenced by, it's just really a great idea. Influenced by really the human minds that were absorbed into whatever construct it is.
Yeah.
To make make the choice to
not annihilate
the Earth, and hit Venus. It's just it's an incredible.
The moment when they're shooting missiles at the asteroid and it dodges,
they're gonna crash the generation ship into it to push it into the sun.
It moves, dodges.
Yep. It yells. It basically jumps at an asteroid.
Yeah.
Moves itself out of the way to preserve its own life.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy.
That's what animates. So I was reading that and I was like, wait. What? And then I processed it, and I'm like, fuck! What is happening? Yeah, yeah. It's alive! What is that?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's so bonkers. Like, I gotta go pick up the next book. What's the next book called?
Caliban's War.
Caliban's War. Okay. Is it the same characters in the second book?
Well, here's the question. Don't say anything, Christopher, because Miller is dead, right? Kind of. Probably.
We don't know.
We don't know. Miller is on Venus with the creature.
No.
He crashed, so he's probably...
It's not definitive what happened to Miller.
Right. It's not definitive what happened to Miller. And then Holden is still alive.
Alive. He's working with the OPA, with Fred.
Yes. So, can you answer whether Holden is the main character, one of the main characters, Christopher? Do you want to answer that?
Book?
Or is that giving too much away? Okay.
No, it doesn't. What I will tell you is that why the series remains compelling is the Rosinante remains at the center of all of the action.
Okay, cool. Okay.
And the people that make up the Rosinante's crew,
those guys are great.
Continue to be your protagonists.
Okay.
Cool.
I like that.
Yeah, no, I gotta go buy it. I gotta have it.
I'll skip to my
Caliban's War,
because I just downloaded it. And I haven't listened to it. I haven't listened to it yet, but I downloaded it on Audible. That's pretty much going to be my, you know, the thing I listen to for the next couple weeks. So I will report.
Even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Oh, just talking about it's getting me all hyped up. I got to go buy a copy.
I'm gonna listen to Caliban's War leading into the what is the Jim Butcher something, the Windrunner's Lass or something like that.
Aeronaut's Windlass.
Aeronaut's Windlass. That's right. And that comes out mid September. So we're all gonna listen to that. But Caliban's War is gonna be.
I got so many books I gotta read. Oh my god, I might have to. I mean, the Taken King for Destiny doesn't drop until September 15th, so I might not play any more Destiny until then, so I can just read through all these damn books. Seriously, awesome. Any recreation is just gonna be reading for the next four weeks.
Some of these books, man, are really good lately. So awesome.
Well, and there's book series that I read that there's new books in the series coming out. I mean, the Robert Galbraith, the detective story that I read, there's a new book coming out of that in October, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be there's the new series that Rick Riordan does. He does like the young adult kind of in mythology. He's doing Norse mythology now. So I'm going to get that and give it a look. I read the Percy Jackson books. I liked them. So those things, you can read them in like 4 days.
Yeah. They're like book candy, you know.
They are totally book candy. So they're fun adventures, and it's
fun adventures.
Good version,
exactly.
Yeah. So, but no, dude, Leviathan Wakes. wow.
So you liked it, you would recommend it to read it. Yeah.
If the Expanse TV series.
Exactly. Now you know what I was talking about.
Incredible.
It needs to be at least that good.
It could definitely rival. It has the potential to rival Battlestar.
It could, if it's made well. It needs a good showrunner, and if it has a good showrunner,
it's made well. Yeah. It could rival Battlestar.
Awesome, Christopher.
Yep.
Red.
I am almost done with The Player of Games.
Oh yeah.
It is a entertaining sci-fi novel. That is coming to a head. Lots of stuff going on. The player, the character at the center of it all, is a genius level, you know, player of games, and he gets recruited to go to another culture across space, whose culture is dominated by a single.
Are these humans or are they aliens?
The character at the center of the book is what humans become, essentially, 10,000 years into the future.
Whoa, all right, cool. Yeah.
And so, you know, they have their technology and their bodies have evolved to a point where they can do a lot of stuff that, you know, they are essentially human, but... You know, they can switch genders and do stuff like that. So,
crazy,
interesting.
Yeah, it's really well done, and not as much of the. The game playing itself is not as fully fleshed out as I might have liked, because he kind of just glosses over the actual gameplay. So he doesn't really he hasn't gone to the lengths to actually construct the rules of these games and describe them in detail, which is kind of a bummer to me, because I love that kind of thing, and so I was hoping for in this book that the author had been creative enough to sort of lay out the rules and really go into detail about this is why he's so great at these things, because he's figured out the strategy and blah, blah, blah. No, he just sort of says that he's good at it.
Oh.
Gotcha.
And so that is kind of a bummer. But the story itself has been good. He goes to this alien culture. He's playing the game. He finds some stuff out about this culture that is not immediately apparent on the surface, but his companion exposes him to these things that are hidden, and then he decides to do something which might lead to really bad things. So it's been good. It's good. I will finish it before we next podcast.
Oh,
so
nice.
All right, cool.
Report
cool.
on how it
would ends. You recommend Andrew and I listening to it or reading it?
It would not leap to the near the top of the list.
There's other things that we should listen to. Okay, so it's good but this not is, great. That's what
it's
you're
good
saying.
But not great.
Okay,
this is the book you're reading for your book club.
Book
correct?
Club. Yes.
Uh-huh. Who's was this your choice for the book club, or was this someone else? Okay,
someone else's.
Wow, that's cool.
What are the other members of the book club thinking of this book?
We haven't talked about it.
We haven't talked about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, do you guys just meet and then you read it and then you get back together after everybody's done? That kind of thing?
Yeah, we meet and then we talk about the current book, and then the person picked this book, and then everybody has a chance to read this current book and with the goal of finishing it by the time book club meets again, and then we talk about it at the next book club.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Which is in actually, we moved it, so it's not for like 4 weeks. So
okay, yeah,
I will finish this and move on to some other stuff. So I'm current in the Star Wars comic. I'm current
current
in the Darth Vader comic. Darth Vader comic has been fantastic. I've enjoyed that a lot. That comic has been the best of all of the Star Wars world comics, but the Star Wars one is a close second. Very much enjoyed that. I am also reading the Lando comic.
How's the Lando comic?
Pretty good. It's pretty good. They've done a nice job of capturing Lando Calrissian's voice. So
his swashbuckling kind of.
Yeah, he's always a schemer, right?
Always, so, yeah.
And so they've done a good job of capturing that. But the Darth Vader one is definitely my favorite of them all. Those have been some really good comics, and his story, and how he has got his own. The way they have set up his own, he's got his own plans, and he's doing these things to further his own interests as opposed to the interests of the Empire or the Emperor even, has been an interesting tale. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Speaking
of that's it for me.
Speaking of comics.
Uh-oh.
You guys hear about Rat Queens, like, number 11 being delayed for, like, four months?
No.
Yeah, it's supposed to come out this Wednesday, but, I mean, we all been reading the trade.
Yeah.
So it hasn't really mattered, but my buddy told me that, like, the number 11 should have come out, like a month ago, and it hasn't. So
Timing?
I think they're having trouble with their artist, their new artist. So, hopefully the new one comes out this week, like they're promising. But I'm not happy that, like, we've read 1 through 10.
Yeah,
but like we're gonna have to wait a long time to read volume 3. I think because it's
I will be buying them individually.
Oh, you're gonna go issue to issue now?
Yes.
That's good. Okay.
I think I will as well. Yeah, that's a good idea.
I don't want to wait.
Well, I mean, well, then you guys can report on how long they're taking, because I think I'll just stick to trades. I'm not going to the comic book shop as often as you guys are, so.
I haven't been in over a month. I got to go in. I'm sure I'm going to have a huge stack when I go in there.
I'm sure. Yeah. Cool. Well, I was having some trouble deciding what I should read.
Wait. Andrew, have you finished Dune?
Have I finished Dune?
Yeah, we talked about it.
We talked about it like two episodes ago.
You did finish Dune.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
We had a whole like 10-minute conversation about it.
Right. Yeah, wow.
We finished it.
Yeah. I'm getting old.
That's cool.
It's all right, dude. You're in your prime.
We're talking about a lot of stuff on this show, so we can get jumbled in our brains.
I definitely finished Dune.
Yeah, I knew we had talked about it, but I didn't remember that you had finished.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Totally.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah, Rat Queens. What was I saying? Oh, so I was having trouble deciding what book I should read next because the Jim Butcher book doesn't come out until late September, but I have a credit through Audible right now, so I ended up getting Caliban's War. I haven't listened to it at all yet, but I've got it, so I'm going to start that. But I have been listening to Ready Player One again.
Yeah.
Because I think that book is just fantastic. It's so fun, and all the 80s movie references and the music and the it's read by Will Wheaton, which is so good, and I don't know. I think that book is just fun, and it hits all the points that I want it to for just enjoyment. It's just a good entertaining. I think I could listen to that probably many, many times. So I was listening to that this week while I was trying to make a decision about my next one, but I've gotten Caliban's War, so I'll switch to that now.
Yeah, read that.
And then once the Jim Butcher book, the steampunk book, comes out, we'll all listen to that or read that, and then
For sure.
And then that'll be our book. But yeah, that's pretty much my only read. I have not read Batman Eternal. I'm sorry. I will do that eventually. Moving on to some Blade.
Let's just gloss right over that.
Christopher.
Let's not harp on his failure.
Yeah, let's not. Failure.
What do you have for played?
What do I have for played? I have I this last week I played a ton of Destiny because I just had to get Gjallarhorn.
Oh yeah.
And so I played the hell out of Destiny and got Gjallarhorn, and then I learned after that that Gjallarhorn is not one of the exotics that is being pulled forward to through the Taken King. So,
yeah.
You know, I'll put in all that time, and it's not even going to be viable once the Taken King comes out.
That's
well, there's going to there's obviously everything that's coming in the Taken King is supposed is more powerful than everything that's coming.
Yeah,
behind.
No, I understand. I play MMOs, so I understand how it works. But I was, so that was actually it reminds me that the. Playing that game is fun. The gameplay is really, really good.
Yeah.
And so when you have a goal and you have an objective, there are systems in place in order for you to achieve that. And that's got to be an avenue by which you can obtain gear in an effective way.
Yeah.
And so I did that and had a good time doing that. Continued to play a ton of Rocket League. That game is a ball. Constantly fun. I never don't have a good time playing that. That game is super fun. And I also played Warcraft.
Oh yeah.
I've been questing through the new area and actually they're going to unlock flying. Patrick and but you have to do a bunch of stuff in the world in order to get the achievement to unlock flying, and so that has me doing stuff. I'm working.
Will your character fly, or will you be able to buy a flying mount?
No, we've been able to. The last few expansions, there have been flying mounts.
Okay.
This expansion, they shut off flying completely.
Wow.
No, you could not use any of your flying mounts at all. They wanted you to explore the world on the ground.
Wow.
And so they turned off all of your flying mounts. You could not fly. And so, you know, they've gone through this.
Were
and
people,
that was
like, freaking out?
Yeah, they were definitely freaking out. But it was a, you know, it's hard to argue from a design point of view. They want people to experience the world.
Right.
If you have a flying mount,
you just fly over everything.
You jump over everything, right?
Yeah.
So you just go right to the place and drop down out of the sky and kill the thing and then fly away. And this way, you actually have to see the world. And the achievement in order to unlock flying requires you to explore every area of the map.
Whoa.
Do a bunch of the main quests. You have to do all of the main quests in every area. I mean, it's actually a significant achievement to get. And you have to do a bunch of the daily stuff, and you have to level
up. I had the explorer achievement when I played, so I had all that.
This is the flying achievement requires more than just visiting places on the map. It requires a bunch of other stuff,
So
that has got me working on all of those things.
Well, that's cool.
So I can have flying, and once you unlock flying on one character, you unlock it for them all.
Oh, okay, that's good. You don't have to do it
so,
all.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to continue to work on that and try to get that achievement because I would like to actually use my flying mounts. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
well, that's good.
Yeah, all right.
That's my played.
Andrew,
I like Christopher spent the strange coins to buy Gjallarhorn Destiny. So I have been leveling that and. I unlocked the kind of the signature perk for the Gjallarhorn is the Wolfpack rounds, which basically like launches a cluster bomb. And the first time when I unlocked that and I was able to use it on a couple strikes to take, you know, to smoke some bosses, it's really fun. Like you feel kind of the visceral, like, dude, Wolfpack rules. Cause you launch a rocket anyway, and it hits really hard. And then Wolfpack continues to do damage over time. And you're like, this is so cool. Now I understand why this is like the most special weapon in the game.
And it tracks
it is so OP. It is so OP.
I think I'm going to go on the record here. Gjallarhorn is the Needler of Destiny. It's OP, yeah. And you don't really have to. You really don't have to aim very well.
Oh no!
And it all tracks to the target.
Oh no! Absolutely. The all the perks. If you max out the perks and max out the damage, it is so OP, and yeah. You don't have to have a lot of gun skill to use it.
Nope.
There are certain weapons in the game require a lot of skill to use effectively.
Yeah.
And Gjallarhorn isn't one of them. It really isn't. You don't have to be good with rocket launchers.
This is why everybody wants it.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it also does a shit ton of damage.
That's true.
And you can, if everybody had, the joke is that you could smoke Atheon and you could smoke Crota with, you know, you just nuke them. You have six people running Gjallarhorns and you burn like 30 rockets and they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not hard. It doesn't require a lot of skill.
Yep.
You know, you have to understand the mechanics of the raid and stuff like that. But
you can't hit Crota unless
he's got to be kneeling. Right, you have to have the sword bearer to hit him with the sword, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it's so much easier when you have people running Gjallarhorns and they just smoke him with rockets, and you have a sword bearer to take him down. But yeah, no, it's a very fun weapon to use, but it's so OP. It's not even funny. Yeah,
it's awesome.
That's why it's fun, because it's so OP. But yeah, Taken King's coming in September.
I'm glad they're getting rid of it. Is what I'd like
not
to say.
It's not going
to
go through. There's going to be a whole new level of. There's going to be twice as many exotics, and they're all going to be more powerful. Some year one exotics, some Destiny year one exotics will go into the Taken King, and you'll be able to advance them to Taken King weapon levels so they're effective against enemies in the Taken King.
Mm.
But some are not. Some are just going to stay behind and not be able to be upgraded.
I bet some of the main weapons, the main hand weapons, are going to go through, like the multi-tool or the hand cannons, stuff like that.
They're nerfing the hand cannons because the meta in the Crucible right now is you have to have an exotic hand cannon to be competitive.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an exotic hand cannon, either Last Word or Thorn, you get wrecked. So they're going to buff auto rifles after they debuffed them, and they're going to debuff...
They have such problems, man.
Yeah, weapon balancing is an ongoing thing.
Yep.
So I gotta buy I have not bought the expansion yet, but I will. I gotta buy that for the Taken King because it looks awesome.
You're gonna pre-buy it? Is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah. Well, if you buy a certain package, you get certain exclusives, and I'll spend the money.
Cool.
I mean, the amount of time and fun that game has given me, yeah, it's worth it in my opinion. People scream and yell about the prices and everything else, but you know what? It's worth it to me to spend the money. I have a lot of fun.
I mean, yeah, you've gotten hundreds of hours of...
Easily hundreds of hours.
Gameplay out of that.
It's frustrating. The game is frustrating because it's a challenge. Like, but it's not. It's never not been entertaining. Is it grindy and repetitive? Sure, but I understand that, and I continue to play it, and I continue to have a good time. If I didn't enjoy it, I'd just stop playing.
Totally.
Right.
Yeah. I don't need to mainline it. You know, it's like, I need to get on and run a strike today. No, I don't. I need to see what drops I get. I don't have that feeling. It's fun.
All right. Anything else?
I was down. I was going to download something on the Xbox Live Arcade, like a free demo to have something else to play. But I was doing it this morning. My internet was so insanely slow that it wasn't able to be finished by the time the podcast was. Mm. We were going to record.
Can I supplement my report?
Oh yeah, go for it.
Free on Xbox Live Gold. Well, I think it's free anyway, but anyway, free on Xbox Live, and legendary listener Sean brought this to my attention.
Is that his new title, Legendary Listener?
That's his new title, Legendary Listener.
I like it. Sean,
I agree with that title.
Sean Bratton, Legendary Listener.
Yeah.
Legendary Listener.
Legendary Listener. he brought to my attention that World of Tanks was available
for download on
Xbox One.
I got it.
And, dude, you need to download this so we can play together.
Is it just on Xbox One or is it on Xbox
360? It's on 360 as well, and I think it's cross-platform.
Download it today.
So download it because all I've done so far is the tutorial stuff. But it is straight up
fighting tank battles. You That's control awesome. A tank, and it's even can the you, tutorial is fun. So
can you form like a team and like yes, fight. You can okay, yes, yeah, yes. Got to do it.
So Sean is playing. I don't know. I haven't talked to him since we both downloaded.
He doesn't have a 360, does he? Is he?
He has an Xbox One.
Oh, he has an Xbox One.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So
legendary listener.
Yes.
Legendary listener.
And so we're gonna try and play together.
For sure. No, that's yeah. That sounds so awesome. I'll download
if
it too.
Cross-platform, we absolutely must form a team and
completely
play.
Agree. I will download. That's great. I needed a game that's free to play, and I will download that for sure.
Tank. And you can play it and not spend a dime. I mean, you can spend money to acquire upgrades and shit like that,
sure.
Or make you advance quicker, you know, the standard sort of microtransaction
totally.
Stuff.
But, that's you don't how they have get the money. Money. That's how they get the money.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to spend any money to play. So
okay, awesome. Cool.
Yeah, check it out.
Cool. The only thing that I have to play is, like, last time I talked about I was going to play Castle Panic. I went and played it with my friends. We played a couple of rounds. We defeated the orcs both rounds. I would say it's challenging, but not too difficult. Shane and I figured out the mechanics of it very quickly, and him and I just we rocked it the second time. I kind of am disappointed that we mastered it so quickly. It definitely can be. It definitely is challenging, but. And they throw a lot at you to make it difficult, but it's not too hard. And there's some there's like some expansion packs for this game too that might make it a little different and interesting. But not my favorite board game that I've played for sure. But
okay.
But it was fun. It was definitely fast paced. Once you get the mechanics of okay, these guys are coming. You got to do this. You got to do this. It's quick decisions, you know. It becomes we played the second round in probably under an hour, and it was pretty fun. It's just a fun game. It's not one of the better ones. I definitely rather play Catan, but
okay,
yeah, that's my report on that. Andrew,
yes sir.
What Star Wars trivia do you have for us?
Okay, continuing with the episode one theme that I started last week, Anakin Skywalker, young Anakin Skywalker, he's a slave on Tatooine, he's 9 or 10 years old, and he's the only human that can compete in the pod races.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he's so
Jedi reflexes.
His Jedi reflexes. He's so OP mm-hmm. with the Force, even at 9, that he, you know, can pilot a pod racer.
Totally.
Question. Anakin's arch rival in the Boonta Eve pod race is Sebulba.
Yeah.
What species is Sebulba? And for extra credit, where is that species from? What planet?
Oh.
They mention both the things in the movie.
Oh.
I got this nailed.
You got this? Yep. I'm blanking on it.
Yep.
Let's hear it.
Sebulba is a Doug.
Oh! That's what it is. Perfect. What planet? Do you know the planet?
And he is from the only other place that they do pod racing or the Qui-Gon mentions, which is Malastare.
Yes. Malastare.
Christopher nails it!
Christopher! Christopher, you are.
Your Star Wars geek is strong,
you
bro.
Are, you are
killed
awesome.
That this week. But yeah, that,
killed
I don't know
it.
Why. That was stored away in a remote... part of
well
my brain.
Done.
Sure. Well yeah. done, Christopher.
Yep.
I totally blanked on that. Good job.
I hate. Maybe it's my hate. Maybe it's my hatred for that movie. It's my love hate. So it has burned into anyway. Yeah.
It's so stupid. A 9-year old able to compete in this race where it's routinely people die.
Yeah.
Obviously, he. I mean, it speaks to the fact that he has no value because he's a slave. But. Well, no value to his life. But anyway, it's one of the only parts of the movie that's any good is the pod race. It's actually fun to watch.
If you ignore the stupid announcer, throughout the whole thing. The
two-headed announcer. Yeah, you just want to punch him in the face.
Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah,
that's terrible. That the rest of that scene is like really cool looking.
Yeah, he is a Doug from Malastare.
Very well done, Christopher. Good job. Extra credit.
Extra credit. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email the show about what you thought of Leviathan Wakes, you could email us at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. You should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek@twitter.com. Visit the website, brothersgeek.com.
Don't forget to send us your geek movie score.
Oh,
tweet
yeah.
us or do email
that.
Us.
Yeah, yeah. Email us, tweet us.
Show notes for sure. Notes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And well, you know who didn't do any podcasting? Or, I mean, pod racing?
Who's that?
Who didn't?
Han Solo didn't do any
podcasting. Yeah, he did not. He doesn't have
but
Jedi reflexes.
Do you know what he did do?
What did he do, Christopher? Tell us.
Or
tell
didn't us. Do? Also didn't do? You know what he did do?
What did he do? Tell us.
Tell us, please.
Han shot first.
Hmm.
That's